Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We got an amazing conversation. I want to get into this because the Colorado baker has won a Supreme Court battle, mainly more with his case than like in general, to where they sided with him in refusing to bake a cake for a gay couple. And I want to get into that because there's a lot of people that said if Jesus were alive, would he bake the cake? And all kinds of, you know, would Jesus support them? And did Jesus do this? And, you know, and I want to get into that because that's, you know, it's kind of like, well, here's the government trying to force more things on you. No, they're not forcing, they're giving you the choice. Do you have a choice in this country if you want to carry a gun or not? It's not mandatory. Clinton kind of defends himself in comparison to JFK because he's kind of like, you know, because that's what, remember when Clinton was president, how, you know, it's just the Republicans just trying to go out, you know, every president screwed around, every president, they might have screwed around, but they didn't get caught.
Yeah, JFK was smarter.
Yeah, we all know he did it, but it wasn't like he didn't get caught. Well, first of all, I mean, some people would blame Monica Lewinsky because she knew he was married.
Mm-hmm. She isn't half the blame as he is.
Yep.
She's not innocent and all that.
Also, Starbucks executive chairman Howard Schultz is stepping down. He's had long political ambitions. We know this. I've known this because I like their coffee. That's about as far as it goes. But I honestly think he's stepping down for another reason, and I'll get into that. Our thoughts and prayers are going out to everyone in Guatemala as the volcano over the weekend has erupted, and 62 people are dead, and the numbers are rising, and just our thoughts and prayers go out to all those. An Iraq war veteran was praised for saving a Wyoming Highway Patrol officer's life. I'm going to get into that. And John Stewart stands behind Samantha Bee and much, much more IndyCar news. So something that happened in IndyCar that I've never heard of in NASCAR or IndyCar or Formula One or anything. Yeah. And I want to get into that much, much more in transfer news with United and all that. So welcome to the program that you are a part of, folks. Psalms 33:18, New Living Translation. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And as many of you know, I watched some of it, like, just before the program. But, like, I've said this many times on the show. Okay, if you're taking a knee during the national anthem, you're disrespecting this country. You're not protesting. I mean, it goes back to like when they had the Vietnam War protest and people were burning the flag, the very thing that gives them the right to protest. I kind of feel like it goes to in relationship to football, because like these Manchester United players now, I don't think they respect the shirt that they're putting on and all the history it has and the people who've worn the jersey before them. People aren't taking the American flag seriously, and all who have died to protect it, and all that have died to make it. For some reason, we have all these people in this country that want to have us become the country we fought so hard in the very beginning to get away from. We didn't come to this country to have a government-run bank, a government-run hospital, a government-run everything. Granted, hospitals weren't that big back in the day. Back in the day, okay, yep, you got an infection. Here, bite on this log while we take a hacksaw and cut your leg off. And that's what they do. In the Civil War, if you had an infection in the leg that they couldn't treat, they would literally just bit on something. Yeah, they basically would just cut off your leg and try to keep the infection from spreading and pray to God. And if you were lucky, you had a clear alcohol, they would pour that on there, which would burn like son of a bitch. And it would try to kill the infection. Pardon me. But there's no respect anymore. And these Philadelphia Eagles players, only like 10 were going to come. And he said, no, we're going to have a celebration for America, for the vets and for Americans. You know, people bash Trump all the time. But where is it about Trump? He's trying to, you know, remember in Germany, it wasn't Hail Germany, it was Hail Hitler, Hail Hitler. It was about a person. Trump is not about himself. He's about America. Now, liberals try to make it out that it's about Trump. You know, what did he say today in that speech? Black unemployment is down. White unemployment is down. Mexican unemployment is down. All these things are going down. This country's looking great.
How many jobs have been created? Record numbers.
And what you got to realize too, though, and I've said this before, if Barack Obama gave everyone a $10 a week job, they would make $40 a month. He could have zero unemployment. It doesn't mean that's a great, yeah, we got zero unemployment. Yeah, but who can afford to live on $40 a month? I mean, stuff you got to think about. I mean, the economy's getting better. We've got a long way to go. I mean, you still have, I still think there is still a big divide between rich and poor. But he's doing something. It's not about, it's not Trump, 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 Trump. It's about America and about us. It's about we the people again. So, I remember, and not many liberals won't talk about this one. Remember, I don't know if you know this, not many, if you listen to, if you're a conversation listener, you know this. Back in 1986-85, the Bears were supposed to go to the White House to meet Ronald Reagan, the Super Bowl shuffle team, you know, with all the great players, McMahon and the Fridge and Walter Payton and all those guys. And because of the Challenger explosion, they weren't able to get to the White House. And it wasn't until Obama became president that they were able to finally officially get to go to the White House and see it, meet the president and all this stuff. And there were like three or four Bears players that were, and I think most of them were black, that said, yeah, I would have loved to have met Ronald Reagan. He was a real president. I don't want to see Obama. I don't respect the man. They don't want to talk about that. But, you know, you have these overpaid NFL players that disrespect the nation. And then, we have the right to protest. And, okay, protest what? You make millions of dollars, like Colin Kaepernick does. You were brought up, you were given all these opportunities, Colin Kaepernick, that the average person doesn't get. And you're going to protest because most, you know, instead of taking a knee, why don't you try to fix it? Why don't you try to do something? Why don't you take your, put your money where your mouth is and help people and give back and say, hey, I had white parents that raised me. I got the opportunities I probably wouldn't have had staying with my biological mother and father. I want to give that opportunity to other people. You know, Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, he was an adopted kid, and look at what he was able to accomplish. And he started an organization to help other people who are adopted get adopted, and because he knows the power of adoption can be good, and great things can come from it. He put his money where his mouth is, and started an organization to help ensure that, okay, these kids that need adopted get adopted into great homes, not ones where they're going to be chained in a basement and abused, because that does happen. Like I said, I could have supported Colin Kaepernick if he would have said, hey, I have white parents. I got opportunities most black people don't get. Maybe most minorities don't get. And I want to fix that so that Mexicans might be able to have opportunities that they normally wouldn't get, or blacks, or even some white people, even some disability people. I want to help people with Down syndrome get some opportunities they wouldn't get. We could respect that. I'd love to see them protest the French Marseillaise. That is one of the most bloodiest national anthems ever. Watch. There are shows. What's that show called? We Buy It or Take It Away. You Can't Pay, We Take It Away. And they're like, oh no, you're just doing like this. This is in England, and they're talking about racism. It's not a America thing. It's not, you know, in South Africa, when the rugby team was playing, and there was racism, racial tensions big in that country. I mean, imagine those white people. Hey, you need to go back to your country. Come back to where you come. Go to where you came from. Leave. This is our home. We came here. You know? It's just, I don't... Enough about that, folks. But, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the Supreme Court case where now the Colorado baker has said he has the right to refuse to serve someone. He has the right to say, no, he shouldn't be forced to make a cake for a gay couple, if it's against his religious beliefs. And of course, well, would Jesus make the cake? It's like the big thing liberals are talking about. Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus be that bigoted and hateful and all this stuff? I'm like, well, because if you read the Bible, Jesus was with the prostitutes and the homely and the bad people and all this stuff.
What they need to realize is we're not hate-filled. We just don't want them to throw. We're sick and tired of their throwing their junk down our throat.
Yeah.
Period.
Amen.
Not hateful.
Yeah, it's not a hateful thing. I mean, Jesus didn't go down there. I mean, if Jesus was alive today, he wouldn't be on a set of a porno movie with a cell phone taking video. He would be ministering to them, helping them, saying, hey, you know, there's a better way. You know, you can steal, or you know, he would be sitting there and ministering to these people. So, anyways, but it's one of those things that, you know, we should have freedom in this country. I guess it goes back to the World War II monument that people are offended because we're not shoving anything down your throat. Okay, wow, I can, you know, so I would love to know if there's an atheist out there, what is your symbol? What symbol do you have that when I see that, I know that means atheism, that you don't believe in anything? Because just because I see that doesn't mean I'm an atheist. You know, just because there's a cross there doesn't mean I'm not forcing anything down your throat. Those World War II vets died for that. You know, you want to shove atheism down our throats. You want to shove, I mean, if you're gay, that's fine. But I don't want to see you making out in public, period. I don't care if you're straight or not. Okay, if you want to make out, me and my wife are going to make out, we're going to make out in the bedroom. There's a big difference. You know, we don't have a straight parade. Come on, we're straight. We're the minority now, so it's okay to come out and say you're with a man if you're a woman.
Exactly. parade.
Well, yeah, we can't have a parade just like we couldn't have a white entertainment network because, you know, for the same reason. We're not hate filled, it's just facts. You know, I guess I'm one of those people that if you're gay, I don't care. You know, I guess there are so many, I do know so many parents are like, okay, if their son or daughter was gay, they'd be like, okay, get out, bye, you're done. We're disowning you. We want nothing to do with you. Goodbye. See ya. Have fun, rotten hell. Hope you die. I mean, there are parents that are like that because they are, you know, because of their beliefs. 99% of us are not. Yep.
If they honestly believe that way, it's sad. But we're not in the business, or we shouldn't be in the business of forcing anybody or changing anybody's beliefs.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a gay
bacon house
and you have all pork products and you do a bacon of the month thing, and every month you do a different flavor of bacon. Are you instantly going to stop selling bacon? If some guy comes in here and says, you have to not sell bacon, it's against the Quran, you know, I'm Muslim and I want to eat here and you can't have bacon. Are you going to all of a sudden just say, we're not going to have bacon anymore? Because, no, I hope they respect the fact that, yes, you sell bacon. But anyway, you know, it's a two-way street. I shouldn't be forced to do something against my religion.
Just like if it was a gay bakery and didn't want to do a straight cake.
They have the right to say no, they should.
But, like I said this to someone last week sometime. I think it was your mom. They are like this politician who came out pro that he likes kids.
He's a pedophile.
Well, they're running. They have to ask if they can change a child's diaper. They want them to pick their own gender. What's next? Pedophilia.
Yep. Yeah, because I don't know if you've heard this, but there are so many people that say, hey, you should let your own child decide his gender. You shouldn't let if your kid grows up, when he's old enough, he should be able to choose if he's a man or a woman. You should have, should they have a ceremony? Okay, folks, when you turn 10 years of age, you have a coming out ceremony where you actually, you do this yourself as a 10-year-old. You have a huge celebration, and when you come out, you're telling your mom and dad what your gender really is. It may be the same as what you were born. It may not be. You may think you're a giraffe or a chimpanzee or whatever. But, you know, because there's like some child psychologist too that says like, what makes a guy having male private parts, what does a baby having male private parts have to do with him being a man? He might be a woman inside. How do you know? And you need to ask your kid before you change the diapers. You need to get permission. Because, you know, when I had my diapers changed, how many people out there can remember when they had their diapers changed that time in their life? I can't. Maybe if I went and did hypnosis and I went to a psychohypnotherapist, maybe. I doubt it. Wow. Just, I don't know, things I don't get, you know. I don't get. Maybe someone out there gets it, you know, that a 3-month-old will tell you when they'll tell you when they want their diaper changed because they're crying like a, or it smells.
More like my nephew. great nephew. He says that he pooped in his diaper just to get you to look, because he wants a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. Normally, you pat the bottom of the thing, and it's squishy in the diaper, and then you smell it, and like, oh yeah. Oof. You know, I mean, they give you signs. They don't sit there and say, okay, Mom, yeah, I know I'm full down there, but yeah, don't change it, okay? I want to chafe. That's not how it works. I don't know where these psychologists get this. I don't understand. Maybe L. Ron Hubbard was half right about psychologists. Maybe he was warning us about the crap that's coming now with these people that think that, you know, that kids, when they're 2 years old and 1 year old, should be telling you when they need their diapers changed, and that the kid should decide the gender, not the body. I don't know. We're going to be the minority someday because, you know, I mean, California, I give it 5 years, and in California, they'll probably have like male, female, or other, and with a line, and you write whatever you think you are, whether it's a robot, an ant, a wasp, a chimpanzee. If you think you're a gorilla, well, there you go. You write it in.
I get to live the life of my cat. Stay at home. Have you feed me? Change my litter box.
And maybe we can find someone out there that can do like a cattoplasty. I just got to make sure you declawed. Moving on, folks. I don't know if you've heard, but Howard Schultz has always had political ambitions. Not many people. No, he's the chief executive. Executive chairman, you know, for Starbucks, the head guru guy. And he's had long political ambitions, you know. And my honest thought is on this, that he is stepping down, not because, yeah, he has political ambitions, but it's a kind of a sneaky way to get out of, because Starbucks has been in some issues recently. You know, because of all the negative press with, you know, they're racist, and when black people come in there and sit there all day, how, you know, they can't use the bathroom unless they buy something, but white people walk in there and they use the bathroom, and like I said before, I've been in Burger Kings in Florida where we had to buy a drink to use the bathroom, period. You have to, you know, I've been in places where you have a key. And when you buy something, okay, can I use the bathroom? Hey, but here's the key, you know. So like at a gas station. And you got a key to the bathroom. Yep, and you have to unlock the key. Since you have to use the key to unlock the door to get to the bathroom, I guess no one cleans it because they're always, those ones are usually always nasty. I think he just, it's an easy way out, you know, with all this stuff going down, and he can do what he's going to do and run for politics and do all that stuff. And all that stuff, so. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, with all this negative press that Starbucks is getting, you wonder if it's really going to affect them, because I think people are going to go no matter what. You know, no matter what happens, I think people are still going to go to Starbucks or whatever. They're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks no matter what. You know, as long as it's not affecting them personally, they're not going to have a problem. So. But we'll have to just wait and see. And it's going to be interesting if he does run for political office, what kind of political office he would run for and different things like that. So, how much time do I have? I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. There's about 34 minutes left in the program, folks. And I want to, your thoughts and prayers need to go out to all those people over the weekend involved in the volcano in Guatemala that has killed at least 65 and forced thousands to evacuate. They've had the volcanoes in Hawaii are still erupting. They're still flowing lava. It's huge. I mean, if you ever heard the song by Kansas, Dust in the Wind, it was a guitar picking exercise. And in the lead singer of the band that was working on this guitar picking exercise, he's reading this book from a Native American. He said, compared to everything in this world, we're just dust in the wind. We're nothing. And, you know, with these earthquakes happening and all this stuff, you know, our thoughts and prayers need to go out to all those people with all this stuff going on, and keep them in your thoughts and prayers, because it's like in Hawaii, they're still having major problems and there's still road closures. And you know, it's going to take, because Hawaii is losing tons of money with not having tourists be able to be there. And in Guatemala, they're having devastation and death, and it's crazy. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them, and I'm sure they're going to be, when a lot of this comes down to and slows down and these volcanoes stop, you know, there's going to be, I'm going to try to be getting some information on some organizations that, if, you know, like groups that you can help out and give to help get these people back on the road. And, you know, if you don't know what you have until it's gone. And a lot of this devastation that's going on in these countries, it's sad. Now, I want to move on because I want to get into this. This is kind of, as many of you heard, you know, Samantha Bee, TBS show host, has been, you know, she said some negative, vulgar things about Ivanka Trump and has since apologized and all this stuff. And, you know, I know that stuff would not be acceptable if it was thrown out at Michelle Obama or Barack Obama and all this stuff, you know, but I thought we had a free speech country where, you know, you could say, I mean, Roseanne Barr should be able to say what she wants. You may not agree with her, just as you may not agree with Trump, and you may not agree with Obama, you may not agree with a lot of people, but you know what? They should have the right to speak their mind without fear of, like, okay, because that would be hard for me if I sat there and I'm like, okay, if I say something on air here that someone is offended by, that everybody on the cast and crew is going to be fired because of something I said. You shouldn't have that fear. You have the freedom. Some of the cast members may not agree with what Roseanne said, but you should have the right to say it. You know, you should have the right to, hey, I don't trust the government. I didn't like Obama. I didn't like Bush. I didn't really like Clinton. And on and on, you know, and I don't. And you take these people and, well, how dare they? I mean, if Roseanne Barr would have said something that was anti-Trump, it could have been 10 times worse. They would have praised her for it. She would have gotten a freaking medal, you know. But, and I guess I just wanted to go both ways. If Samantha Bee, if Roseanne was fired for what she said, why isn't Samantha Bee? Because they both apologized. Why isn't The View off the air? You know, you gotta sit there and look at everything in this world. And if you're gonna treat conservatives one way, you need to treat liberals one way. If you're gonna treat liberals one way, you need to treat everyone the same. Whether you're independent, whether you're a libertarian, whether you're a conservative, a liberal, socialist, whatever. You know, everyone needs to be treated the same. You know, we all have different, like a lot of my very, very liberal friends, we all want the same thing. We just have a different way about going about it. And it's, you know, it's like I shouldn't, it's like with the Supreme Court case. They shouldn't have, if he doesn't want to bake a cake for someone, that should be his right not to have to bake a cake. If a black family is asked by a neo-Nazi group to make a cake, they shouldn't have to. They should be able to refuse and say, no, we're not going to do that. Sorry. They should have that right. You know, we have a Second Amendment that allows you to carry a weapon. It doesn't force you to. You don't have to live in America. If you don't like what it stands for and you think it's so corrupt and so bad and so wrong, then if it's so bad that you have to disrespect the national anthem, then why would you want to live here? I'm not going to go to France and think it sucks and then sit there, okay, well, I want to live in France, but I hate the place, so I'm just going to disrespect it, and I'm not going to stand for the Marseillaise, and I'm not going to do what you should do to respect the French country and the French flag and the French national anthem. I'm not going to do anything to respect it, but I want to live here because even though it sucks and I don't have the same opportunities as someone that was born here or whatever the case may be, you know, I'm one of those people. America's not perfect. No place is, but we want to try to work to make it a better place. You know, instead of complaining, you know, do something. And like I said a myriad of times, if Colin Kaepernick would have stood up and said, hey, I have white parents that adopted me and gave me this great life I have. I was able to accomplish a lot of things with it, but many people don't have the opportunity I got. And I want to make sure that they have that opportunity. And I want to do stuff. And I want to help out and give back. Because I was so blessed. You know, pay it forward. Like you do at like a lot of these restaurants where, hey, I want to buy that guy's meal behind me. You know, I've gone to like Starbucks. Now here's $20. I want to buy people's drinks behind me. Or you buy a police officer's drink or whatever. You know, it's called paying it forward. If he would have paid it forward and said, hey, this is what I want to make this place better, we could respect that. I mean, there's racism in every part of this world. But we need to come together because we're all human beings. We're all human beings, you know, and we all have the right to speak our minds. You shouldn't have the fear of, okay, if I say something, I'm going to be done for. I mean, but at the same time, you shouldn't sit there. I mean, there are limitations. I mean, the American flag gives you the very freedom to have the Second Amendment and the freedom of speech. You shouldn't burn the very thing that gives you the right to do what you're going to do. But at the same time, I mean, you got to have common sense. You don't sit there and hold the decapitated head of Trump with blood hanging off of it. I mean, you got to use common sense. And a lot of people don't have that. I mean, you have the freedom of speech and you have freedoms, but you got to, you know, at the same time, yeah, I have freedom. But at the same time, there are some laws and the things you should follow. There are some things that you do. You know, when I grew up, you put your hand on your heart and you did the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem, and that's what you did. You stood for it. It was an honor thing. It was a respect thing. And some people don't get that. You know? They don't understand. And that's sad. But they don't get it. I want to get on to this because this is just an amazing. This is amazing because we had that Celebrate America thing. And an Iraq war vet puts a suspect in a chokehold. This Iraq vet is going down the road and he spots a state trooper in trouble. And what does he do? His instincts kick in. His troubleshooting kicks in. Okay, I got to do something, you know. And he goes and gets. Philip said he used his Marine training and Army National Guard chokehold on this guy, and his combat training kicked in, and they were brought down to the ground. And when they were brought down to the ground, the guy tried to go after him and tried to, you know, use his arms to go after his head, and he goes, I got this chokehold on. You better stop wailing your arms and trying to get me, or else this is going to get even tighter. And when the officer was able to put the suspect in the car and all this stuff, at the end of it all, this is the greatest thing. The officer was like, you know, the officer basically was just sitting there and he goes, "Nice chokehold." And that's what the officer, he didn't say, like, "Thank you so much for what you do," and da da da. It means the world, but he's basically, "Chokehold. Nice chokehold, buddy." And he's a truck driver and he's an Iraq war vet, and you know, and gee, they're trained to deal with issues that come up like this. And why are they not at every school employed to protect the children? No, they can't be, because you want to protect these kids by taking away my gun rights so that they can protect kids that are not going to be protected, because the people that are going to go after them are not going to care about the laws or the gun rights or anything, and they're just going to get a gun no matter how they can through illegal channels, and they're going to do what they're going to do no matter what law you pass. Instead, we could have vets that are trained, that know what they're doing, that are highly skilled, that could protect the kids. We can have kids in this country that are protected. We need to have agencies that check into red flags when they're saying, "Hey, maybe they should have called," in that Florida case, they should have called the DEA and said, "This guy's got pot." They'd have been there 2 seconds. But that's the world we live in today, you know. That's the world we live in, you know. Kids will gang up and bully on kids, but they won't sit there and take the time to be there and be there for them. May not work, but hey, you never know. This is very interesting. This is hot off the wire. One of the suspects is arrested for an alleged plot against Benjamin Netanyahu. Israeli security services foiled an alleged terror plot against Benjamin Netanyahu. This is right off the wire, folks. This is incredible. That, you know, that's why you got, that's why the people that are your security people are protecting you. And I guess there was an attempted a terror attack, you know, to a plot to go after him and take his life, and it was foiled. Of course, they want to go after him. He wants, you know, they moved. The U.S. Embassy, they're doing things that are against what a lot of people want. A lot of these terrorist organizations hate what's going on there. It's going to be interesting to see how that develops and what more information we get out of this. Right now, they've just said they foil the plot. Thank God. That's God intervening right there. That's, you know, protecting a great man. This is going to be interesting to see what happens. This is a new FXL commissioner says that the league will require its players to stand for the national anthem. You know, because the NFL doesn't do anything about that. But I look at it like this. It's sad that they have to require them to do that. It's sad that they can't, out of the goodness of and the grace of God, stand up and respect the country they live in. You may have a problem with America in one respect or another, but, you know, take it, you know, but do something about it. You know, I mean, take a look at the inner cities. Why don't they try to fix up their communities? Why don't they try to make them better? They don't. What is that? What is that? Drugs Inc. on Nat Geo, where this guy goes, yeah, you know, it's great because, you know, on the evening news, yeah, this new heroin go around, they've had 4 deaths from it. Yeah, when people find out that other people have died from this heroin, it sells like wildfire. People want it. That's scary to think that, okay, your heroin sales are going to multiply when people find out that people have died from it. That's scary. Oh, I know this kills. I know people that from this crap. Who cares, man? I'm about the money, man. Man, I'm making 50 grand a week, man. You know, man, I buy kilos at a time. They don't care about their community. They don't care about where they live. If they gave a crap about where they live and the community they live in, they wouldn't be okay. Well, yeah, guess what? After 10, 15 years of Democratic policies, they, hey, look at how decrepit this is getting. Look at how bad it's getting. Our Democratic policies aren't working. Hey, let's enact our own. Let's do something of our own. Let's make this place better again. Let's rebuild. Let's do stuff. Let's get off our butts and do something. They don't. You know, imagine people of today living in Jamestown. Okay, well, yeah, you want a roof over your head? You better start cutting down logs and making timber and turning it into wood and making a house. There was no... builder. You were the builder. Or there may be a really, really good guy that did woodworking. You say, okay, hey, you helped me build my house here, and I'm a great silversmith, and I'll make you some utensils to use. Got a deal. Back in the day, there was a lot of bartering. There wasn't a lot of... Now it's like, okay, do something for me. You mean I actually have to do something myself? Are you kidding me? You know, we live in a point-and-click society. You know, kids of today won't know the struggle of waiting 5 minutes to try to get online because you have to dial up on the internet and spend 20 minutes to upload a 13-second clip. You know, everyone wants stuff so now, instead of, you know, back in the day, it took, you had to, no one wants to do anything anymore. Yeah, you know, South Chicago's falling apart. It's government's fault. You know, it's Republicans. And then finally, some black people are saying, wait a minute. There ain't no Tea Party Republican for 50 miles. You know, our communities are falling apart. We need to do something. We need to come together as a community and do something. Got about 15 minutes left in the program, and you don't have to live in America. You can live anywhere. But do something. Yeah, if you really don't like this country, you should leave. Or if you have a problem with it, what's your problem with it and try to make it better? Try to make it better. Try to improve on it. This is interesting because, you know, as many of you know, this is kind of new. ICE agents raided a Ohio lawn and garden business Tuesday and arrested 114 suspected illegal immigrants, one of the largest immigration sightings in years. Now, since they're working there, unless they're getting paid under the table, they're using someone's name and social security number and ID and information. Unless they're in some sort of program where the government has where you can bring in illegals for like a couple months a year to do work and then they have to go back, and that's not the case, but whatever, you know, what have illegals done except for come here illegally? Got about 13 minutes left in the program, folks, and gonna move on now. I don't know if any of you who watch IndyCar out there, motorsports in general, saw the the dual races in Belle Isle and Detroit. I have family, and like I wish I could have been there, but I got a job, and I got to work, and I got to pay bills, and so I just can't leave because, yeah, I wish I had the time and the money because tomorrow night in Indianapolis and Noblesville at the end of the Debtor Plan, Dead & Company, but it's like an hour and a half, like 2 hour drive up there and back. So, I mean, it's not really to get to Deer Creek Music Center, it's not really the most ideal, but yeah, but to drive up there and back. Yeah, but it's like 2 hours and then get home at mid, like 1 a.m. So, but anyway, they did the race in Belle Isle, and it was just incredible, the dual races. Because Scott Dixon won the first one, as you know, and Ryan Hunter-Reay came in second, and Alex Tagliani was third. But in the second dual race, we saw something that had never happened before. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of this. You can PM me, chime in, whatever. But before the start of the race, there was a red flag that came out due to the pace car around, I think it was turn six. It's a fast turn. It did like a 180 and went into the wall. Wow. And it was like a 40-minute delay from the start of the race because of the pace car. And of course, the two guys came out and they had a backup pace car. Didn't know they had backup pace cars, but because I've never seen a pace car wreck out, you know. I'd hate to be the one driving it. You wrecked the pace car. I gave you one job to do. Go around the track. One job and you wrecked the pace car. Because it back end got loose and went around and bang, right into the wall. I think if someone was hurt, then it would have been something not, but when everyone came out and everyone was fine and there was nothing wrong and they weren't hurt at all, then you're just like, oh, Lord. Oh, my. I've never, and the announcers, and I've never, and I've been watching NASCAR and IndyCar and stuff since the 80s. I've never seen it. I have seen IndyCar smash into the wall to where there's nothing, there's no piece of the car bigger than a penny. And they say, well, folks, as soon as we get word at the scene of the accident, we hope everyone's okay. And it's like, okay, I don't see a part bigger than a penny, so how could anyone have survived? You know what? I'm sure they want to make sure that any family members are told before they go on air, you know, but that was just a crazy, crazy race because I'm like, yeah. You know, Alexander Rossi, yes, he might do it. And then he was kind of pissy at the end because I kind of feel like he felt like Ryan Hunter-Reay was racing him too hard and kind of took him out. And he goes, if you would have just stayed where you were, we would have finished first and second. But then Alexander Rossi could have just said, okay, hey, he's got a faster car. I'm going to let him go by me. You know, if you're trying to keep him behind you and because of that, you get spun around, that's your fault, you know? If he's got a way faster car, which Ryan Hunter-Reay did have, he should have let him go around him. Wow. I just could not believe. I'm like, basically, they stopped the race. And, you know, of course, the two-seater went by. I'd be like, yeah, okay. You know, I wonder if there's qualifications or they have to be trained to drive that car, you know. They're probably going to have you take, like, a safety class. So he was going to be the pace car driver, but since he failed the safety class, he can't do it. So, sorry. I don't know. It was a great race, though, nonetheless, you know. I'm going to move on now to some Premier League action, folks, and Premier League news and transfers and going ons and this and that. So it's just amazing. As many of you know, Manchester United have two signings. Yes, sir.
Too bad they lost the bus they had.
Well, because as you know, today we signed Fred, and tomorrow from the BBC, they have said that the lot will be signed too. And they're just, I think he's had his medical and everything. They're just waiting for it to be official. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, as Marco Silva has come on as the Everton manager, and, you know, then you got Arsenal's new manager. And Arsenal's new manager was at when Arsenal's manager went, you know, was from Arsenal's manager used to be at PSG, and when he was at PSG, guess who was going to possibly go to PSG? Fellaini. And now there's talk that they want him at Arsenal, and I think he would be dumb not to take it.
He was already gone.
No, he is. From what we understand, is he is looking at Arsenal, but supposedly there's still a contract on the table that he has not signed with United. So, but Arsenal really wants him, and I think he's going to go. So, but there has been rumors, not rumors, but if you look into Twitter and stuff, Milinkovic-Savage has said that he likes the fact that Fred is at Manchester United. He's implemented that he would love to be United and play alongside with Fred. I'm not saying Manchester United is going to get Milinkovic-Savage. They're not saying that. He just says, hey, Fred's a great transfer. I want to be there, yada, yada, yada. And it's up to Ed Woodward and Jose Mourinho to get the deal done. So I think when it came out of it, Fred was like $49 million. So not too bad. I mean, I think he's gonna try to improve us with our striking and get us a more offensive team instead of this defensive team. And hopefully next year with some of the players that we're getting, maybe Mourinho is going to wake up and say, hey, I hope someone wakes him up and he realizes, I think he has, that, you know, okay, we've had 5 years, you know, the 5 years, four of them, guess what four of the 5 years are? Player of the year is the goalie, you know?
What's wrong with that? We've won the best goalie.
Well, 9 times out of 10, it's a midfielder, someone that's scoring goals. That just shows you how defensive we are. And you're not going to win a Premier League title being a team that is super, super, super ultra defensive and hopefully they can get one goal and win. There are times that United has lost the title on goal differentials because they didn't score as many goals. But, hey. It's one of those things. That, you know, I think Fred's going to be I think he'll probably get the number 10 shirt. He's going to be a great asset. I think he's going to, I just hope he can transfer well. Because that's one of the big keys you deal with, okay? He may be great in the Bundesliga. He may be great in Italy. He may be great in France. But when he comes to United and comes to England, he may not flop. I mean, we want to make sure we have some players that we know can be, that are Premier League proven, or we have a pretty good chance of being someone that's just going to be able to acclimate to the Premier League and be dominant, not be like, hey, in the Bundesliga, he's amazing. Here he can't do anything because the style of play is different, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, hey, I'm used to playing in 70-degree weather, and here it's 10 degrees and 20 degrees, what the heck? But, you know, that's that's kind of where it is. We're excited. We're getting some deals done. We need to get some players in, some players out. But I do think Mourinho's kind of getting it because if any of you ever get the chance, go on YouTube and look up the Bob Knight halftime rant when he goes off on his players about how he's sick and tired of losing to Purdue, and he's sick and tired, you know, like you're lackluster. And I kind of think at the end of the season, Mourinho kind of said, hey, you got this jersey. This jersey means something. When you put it on, you should be putting it on with pride. It's red from the blood, sweat, and tears of all the players that have come before you. When you put on that jersey, think about Georgie Best and Cantona and Jimmy Murphy and the Bugsby Babes and all the players that have made this what this is. If you're here just because you're getting a paycheck, then nah. There's, you know, this shirt comes with honor and pride and history. If you're not going to give 5,000,000%, I'll find someone who will. That's how Alex Ferguson would be. And I kind of felt like near the end, he was kind of like, hey, we've been up and down, up and down, up and down. We should, I don't see the determination out there. I don't see the pride. You know, if you want to show me that you're going to give 100%, great. If not, I mean, you can say what you want, but Flamey did score some major goals for us. We give him crap because he plays long ball football, but hey, he has won us a game. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. I got about 90 seconds left in the program, folks, and what a wonderful conversation we've had together for this hour. Thank you for having me into your home or your phone or wherever you're listening, your car. You know, if you don't agree with something, that's great. If you have a problem with something, try to change it. Try to fix it. Try to make it better. There was a little... There's a high school radio station that used to be at my school. It still is, and it goes, tune us in and rip the knob off, you know? If you find the radio station right, you can do that. Now, you can turn it off. You can change. We're not all going to agree upon everything. But if you have a problem with something, maybe try to fix it. Instead of protesting, why don't you try to do something to fix it to make it better? You know, I can sit there all day long and, you know, I hate war, I hate war. What's that going to do? You know, it's like, you know, when you look at the, trying to think of, I only got about 20 seconds left, but whale wars. When you look at the sea shepherds, you know, he did Greenpeace. What did it do? Just putting something about it. And with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, who mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and a sacred honor. Till next Thursday, coming up, good night and goodbye.